I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As the 2019-20 Europa League group stages begin, Espanyol arrive as the Invincibles. 21 matches undefeated in Europe is a record that they share with the Ajax of Louis van Gaal, having come through the qualifying rounds unscathed and having gone on an incredible run during their previous European adventure back in 2006-2007. I'm your host, Hugh McTeer, and in this episode of La Liga Lowdown, we look back at the memorable UEFA Cup campaign for Espanyol, the team that technically didn't lose a match in the competition, but the team that left their final against Sevilla with silver medals, just as they had done back in 1988 against Bayer Leverkusen, back when the UEFA Cup final was a two-legged affair. The Pericos were defeated in the penalty shootout in the final in Glasgow.
Lots of pressure here on Torrejón. The Palop is there again, and Sevilla are triumphant for the second season running in the UEFA Cup.
Now, before we get to the final and to set the scene, here's Sam Leveridge to tell us about the 2005-2006 season and Espanyol's unorthodox route into the UEFA Cup.
Hopes were high for Espanyol going into the 2005-2006 season. It was a club that was very buoyant and the atmosphere was good. Miguel Angel Lodina had led the team to a fifth place finish in the previous season, and many fans were hoping that they could even maybe go one better in 2005-06, but it didn't work out like that at all. In La Liga, it was a disastrous campaign. In Europe, Espanyol reached the first knockout round where they were beaten by French side Lille. And in the Copa del Rey, it was where they had their respite. In April, they won the competition with a 4-1 thrashing of Real Zaragoza in the Bernabeu in the cup final. But they had had an easy route there. They'd faced mid-table teams like Cadiz, Getafe and Deportivo, avoiding all of the big boys. It was a welcome bonus too, and it qualified from the UEFA Cup, which was fortunate because their league campaign was a disastrous one. It wasn't until the very last minute of the very last day that Espanyol secured their status as a La Liga team, with Coro scoring the injury time goal, which sparked wild celebrations. It was Latina's last game too, as he announced after the whistle that he would be leaving Espanyol after 2 years in charge.
With Miguel Angel Lodina gone, it was time to appoint a new coach, and Espanyol opted for an hombre de la casa, one of their own. One of the members of the Espanyol squad for the heartbreak of the 1988 final defeat against Bayer Leverkusen was Ernesto Valverde, and he was the chosen one to take over. Here's Alex Fitzpatrick to tell us more about Valverde's career and arrival at Espanyol.
Ernesto Valverde began his playing career with Deportivo Alaves as a forward in the Segunda B. Two transfers in successive seasons saw him reach La Liga after catching the eye of Espanyol. He remained at Espanyol for two seasons, with the club losing the UEFA Cup final to Bayer Leverkusen on penalties in his final year. His 9 goals in 29 games that season attracted the attention of the side across the city, and he made his move to Barcelona. During 2 years at the Camp Nou, his injury problems meant that he was a bit part player of a squad which won the Copa del Rey and a UEFA Cup Winners' Cup. Despite his problems, he'd found an admirer in Johan Cruyff, who tipped him to be a future head coach at the top level. Valverde left Barcelona for Athletic Bilbao the following year, where he played for six seasons. Though born in Extremadura, he qualified for the Basque club, having moved there as a young child. Bilbao would be where Valverde began his career as a coach. He slowly learned his trade and gained promotions through the ranks until he found himself as head coach of the first team in the summer of 2003. In his first year, his team finished fifth and qualified for the UEFA Cup. The following year, though, they didn't hit the same heights, finishing only ninth. But at the end of the season, the new president made Valverde a contract offer. It turned out, though, to be a sign of no confidence and an invitation to leave. Valverde was already one of the lowest paid coaches in the division, having risen through the ranks. An offer of a pay cut was the final straw, and Valverde walked away. What followed for Valverde was a year out of football. When he did return, he had to settle for what many might consider a lesser job than his last appointment, returning as head coach to the club where he debuted in the top division as a player, Espanyol. Valverde required some persuasion to take the job. Espanyol were reigning Copa del Rey champions, qualifying for Europe in the process, but had also narrowly survived relegation in the final game of the season. The presence of a number of promising young players in the squad turned out to be one of the key deciding factors, and in the end, Valverde decided to take the plunge.
Valverde really did have quite an impact at Espanyol. In fact, he was so successful there that he has his own gate at their new RCDE stadium. Club legends are honoured by having their names placed above the gates around the ground, and Gate 89 belongs to Valverde. In large part, that's because of this memorable run to the UEFA Cup final. So, how did Valverde's Espanyol get to that final? Let's follow their path to Glasgow just now. It all started in Slovakia's national stadium in Bratislava, as they faced Armenia Petrozalka in the qualifying round. Following a 2-2 draw there, Espanyol brought the Slovakian side to Montjuïc, to the Stadio Olympic, the stadium used for the 1992 Olympics that was then home to Espanyol between 1997 and 2009. There was some early panic as Jan Burjan gave Armenia an early lead, but Pandiani got two more goals and Luis Garcia added another to make it a 5-3 aggregate win. Espanyol were in the group stages.
Había de ser Pandiani y no podía ser de una otra manera. Había de ser de cap com ha començat el partit l'Espanyol. Minut 14 de la primera
fase. Pandiani en het is raak. De eerste, de beste kans. Hij zette al eerder een keer voor.
La combinación Luis García. Gol. El primer de l'Espanyol ha arribat ben aviat. Minut 9 de la primera part. Excel·lent combinació entre Coro i Luis García. I finalment el de Banyoles.
Marca Pandiani. En de 2-0. Van Corominas. Zijn tweede.
Aquesta oportunitat. Compte amb Pandiani. Doncs una altra. El sisè gol de l'Espanyol en el sisè córner de l'equip blanquiblau. No podia ser d'una altra manera. Cop de cap de Pandiani i 6-2 en el marcador.
This UEFA Cup was during the time when the format was a group stage format, but with groups of five teams and just four matches. You played two teams at home and two away, and it was just your luck which side you got at home and which ones you had to visit. Espanyol started out with a 2-0 victory away at Sparta Prague. The odd-numbered group format meant that each team had one match day off, so after Espanyol sat out the second round of fixtures, they had their first group stage match in front of their own fans as they hosted an absolutely bossed Belgian side, Zulte Waregem. This was a thriller as Espanyol won 6-2, with Luis Garcia scoring a hat-trick, Coro netting one, and Walter Pandiani scoring two of the 11 goals that would see him finish as tournament top scorer. I'm sure you heard his name come up quite a bit in those group stage commentary clips. Next came the glamour fixture of the group, the match the supporters had been waiting for. On a cold November night in Amsterdam, Ajax and Espanyol squared off. Pandiani and Coro gave them the 2-0 win, and when you look at some of the names in that Ajax side, from Stekelenburg to Heitinga to Vermaelen to Vertonghen to Schneider to Huntelaar, you realise just how impressive a win this was. already basically confirmed as group winners, barring a major goal difference swing. A slightly weaker 11 was sent out against Austria-Vienna in the final group game, but Espanyol won again. 1-0, you guessed it, Walter Bandiani with the goal.
Crea problemas, eh? Centra Rufete!
Gol, 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 gol!
De Moisés Hurtado, gol! Pabudo! Marca el español Raúl Pabudo!
Poniendo la pelota desde la esquina!
¡Bandiani! ¡Bandiani de cabeza!
Sí.
¡Vaya centro!
¡Sí, sí, sí!
¡Del español Coro! ¡Gol del español Coro! Marca el pase de Riera. Yo creo que ahora sí que están contentos, hermano. Yo discrepaba un poquito de ti antes. Ahora sí que...
Into the round of 32. Espanyol had a trip across the Mediterranean to take on Italian side Livorno, who were taking part in their first and last European campaign. The first leg in Italy took place behind closed doors due to the stadium not meeting certain regulations that had just been established. Valverde said before the match that he wasn't sure if this would actually be an advantage, but it sure seemed like it as Espanyol won 2-1. Bandiani again amongst the scorers. Back in Catalonia and with fans, Jesus Maria La Cruz and coronated the goals in a 2-0 victory for the La Liga side, one of four Spanish sides to make it to the last 16. Next up was Maccabi Haifa. Again, the away leg came first for Espanyol, and they drew 0-0 in Israel. Back in Barcelona though, it was anything but close. They thrashed Israeli side 4-0 with Ivan de la Peña, Raúl Tamudo, Luis Garcia and Pandiani all getting in on the action to book a ticket to the quarterfinals and to set up a blockbuster clash with Benfica. It couldn't have started better against the Portuguese side, who'd entered the competition as one of the third place Champions League teams. Tamudo, Riera and Pandiani put them 3-0 up by the hour mark in the first leg, the home leg. But Benfica gave Espanyol a big scare after Nuno Gomes and Simão pulled two goals back. They took a 3-2 lead to Lisbon and had to nervously navigate 90 minutes at the Estádio da Luz. They did so with Gorka Ivaizos excellent as the Basque goalkeeper helped put his side into the semi-finals. There they met Werder Bremen and raced into another 3-0 lead in the home leg. But this time they didn't let that advantage slip away, helped by the fact that the German side went down to 10 men for the final half hour. Thanks to the goals from Moises Hurtado, Pandiani and Coro, they went to Bremen with a very healthy lead. Although they conceded in the 4th minute, Espanyol ended up winning 5-1 on aggregate, thanks to more goals from Coro and La Cruz. After this short pause, we'll get into what exactly happened in that final at Hampden Park against Sevilla.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Well, Welcome back to this La Liga Lowdown episode looking at the 2006-2007 UEFA Cup when Espanyol made a famous run to the final. There they met another Spanish side. They met the reigning champions of the competition. They met the Sevilla of Juan de Ramos. The final was a thriller, one of the best of all time, and here's Roman de Arquer to tell us the story of that amazing match in Glasgow.
Y verás a los pericos ganar UEFA y Supercopa Real Club Deportivo Español.
Brindaremos hoy con whisky y nos daremos las manos. Sevillistas y pericos, todos somos hermanos.
Espanyol's second golden chance to win the Europa League, or more precisely, the UEFA Cup, came at Hampden Park in Glasgow on the 16th of May in 2007. In front they had another Spanish team, Sevilla. The Andalusians had won the same title the previous year by thrashing Middlesbrough 4-0, and were hungry enough to make a second consecutive final. Early in the game, in the 18th minute, Adriano outpaced David Garcia in a very quick counter-attack and run in the box towards Iraizoz, finding the goalkeeper's bottom left corner despite shooting from a tight angle. What a start for Sevilla. And in fact, despite the goal, they kept on pushing while Espanyol was starting to feel the pressure and not proving capable of giving their rivals any trouble. Until Albert Riera gave Espanyol the morale boost they needed 10 minutes later. His shot from outside the box was deflected by Dani Alves, just enough to get the ball past Palop, despite touching it with the tip of his fingers. From there on, Espanyol gained momentum, but Sevilla still dominated the game overall. The first half ended in a 1-1 draw, and so would the second half, but with a massive setback for Los Pericos. Moisés Hurtado got sent off in the 68th minute after a foul near the edge of the box against Kerzakov, who'd come in for Luis Fabiano just a few minutes earlier. A second yellow card for Hurtado meant a wounded Espanyol were down to 10 men for the rest of the game. And did they suffer. Corner after corner, Sevilla kept Espanyol confined in their own box, with Canute almost getting the winner after heading the ball onto the crossbar. But the blue and white team managed to resist and hold on to their hopes, forcing extra time at Hampden Park. During those 30 minutes, it was more of the same we'd seen since Hurtado sending off, with the Andalusians enjoying the best chances and constantly threatening Iraizoz's goal. Until their prize came in the 105th minute. Just before the first break in extra time, a pinpointed cross by Jesús Navas was caressed into the back of the net by Canute. It seemed done and dusted. Espanyol was running out of energy and hope, while Sevilla still kept pushing to seal it off for good. But then came Jonatas, who'd been subbed in just before extra time with a splendid strike from miles away that just blasted past Palop to keep Los Pericos in the game. Now they could just pray for a penalty shootout, and their wish got granted. Being one man down wasn't a problem anymore, but the pressure was on them after Canute elegantly put the first one past Iraizoz, despite guessing the correct side. Luis García stepped up to shoot first for Espanyol, but his bravery got no reward. He shot to his left and Palop made a quick leap to block the ball. Sevilla won up. Second was Dragutinovic. The Serbian centre-back also stepped up calmly to the ball, tricking Iraizoz and slotting it in the left side with his left foot. Walter Pandiani now had to score for Espanyol, and what a way to do it, top right-hand corner, absolutely no chance for Palop whatsoever. And things got even better for them when Dani Alves sent the ball way over the crossbar, far into the stands of Hampden Park. This gave Jonatas the chance to level things up. He opted for the same corner he'd previously scored his wonder goal, but Palop knew it, and he denied the Brazilian a second one. Sevilla were another step closer when the unforgotten Antonio Puerta sent Iraizoz the wrong side and put his team up 3-1 in the penalty shootout. Espanyol had their remaining hope set on Torrejón. He could be one of the club's heroes in achieving their first UEFA Cup. But he looked nervous and tired, whereas Palop still had one big stretch left in him to glide to his right, stop Torrejón's weak attempt and become the real hero of the game. Three saves that tore Espanyol hearts apart.
What was it like to be there at that final, to see the Spanish invasion of Glasgow? Well, I remember it quite well. As a kid living in the city at the time, I remember the streets being packed with fans in blue and red, but I never made it to the game. Someone who did though, and someone who spent approximately 40% of his waking hours at Hampden Park, is Stuart Spencer, who works in the stadium offices and who made it along to this match. Here he is to describe the emotions of it from the neutral's perspective.
The rain was pouring, it was absolutely lashing down. but it didn't once dampen the spirits of both sets of fans who came here to Glasgow in the hope to see a great game of football, which they did, and hopefully to see their team lift a major European honour. I've never experienced an atmosphere outside my own football team in Scotland that was able to shake Hampden Park. The stadium was moving. The first goal is one of my favourite counter-attacking goals of all time, and that just set the tone for what would have been the best live match I attended outside my own football team and my country. Extra time came, no one wanted to leave the ground. I didn't want to leave, I was just loving every minute of this final. Finally came to penalties. Everyone was just sheerly exhausted watching the game because it was so good, and it's the final hadn't even been won. It was just, I've still got the matchday programme and the ticket in my room, and I still often refer to it when I talk about games that I attended at Hampden Park, and it was just a joy to be part of that occasion, and I'm very thankful for my dad for buying the tickets on that day.
And what about for Espanyol fans? What about for Espanyol fans on the other side of the world? Well, here's Nick Puñal of the RCD Espanyol Australia fan group with the excellent Twitter handle of PerryCosOZ. Here he is to tell the story of how he lived this UEFA Cup final.
I remember the night before the final, I just could not sit still. I was so nervous. Had to go for a walk and try and calm my nerves down because it was just incredible. I had my mum and my brother-in-law and my sister come over from England, and we all got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch that game. 1-0, 1-1, and then we went through to extra time, and then again we conceded, only for John Adust to score the absolute screamer from outside the box. And again, we reached penalties, and I don't know where Palop got his divine intervention from, but I'm pretty sure he hasn't had such a fantastic game ever since. It was a massive disappointment. It didn't compare to losing on penalties to Leverkusen back in 1988, but nevertheless, I was pretty much down for the next couple of days. I am excited that we are back in Europe. I do realise that our opponents, they are much more experienced than us in European competition, the CSKA in Moscow particularly. So it's just a wait and see. I hope that we manage to really come together and put some great performances in, especially at home. So let's wait and see.
Espanyol are back in Europe for the first time since that campaign. Many things will be different about this year's European adventure. New coach, new players, new stadium, new name for the competition too, now that it's called the Europa League. And in the 21st minute of each match, Espanyol supporters will applaud, something they didn't do in 2006-2007, something they didn't have to do. That minute's applause in every match is a tribute to Espanyol's former captain Dani Harkey, who was an integral member of that 2006-2007 squad. Here's Matt Clark to tell us about this sad part of the story.
When Espanyol took the lead against Lucerne in a Europa League qualifier last month, the team celebrated the goal by coming together, forming a circle and pointing to the sky as one. This was to honour Dani Harkey, their former captain, who tragically died 10 years ago, aged just 26. He had been a keystone part of Espanyol's run to the UEFA Cup final in 2006-07. He played every minute in 14 of the 15 matches, as they conceded just 11 goals throughout the competition. It was a rock at the back, which helped them keep 7 clean sheets, including daunting away trips to Ajax, Maccabi Haifa and Benfica, illustrating his influential role within the defence. A one-club man, loyal to his local team, Harkey came through the ranks at Espanyol B before making his debut in the Copa del Rey at Alicante in September 2002. His La Liga debut came in a 2-0 victory over Recreativo de Huelva, while his first start was a month later against Atletico Madrid. He played a total of 212 games for Espanyol, scoring 10 goals. Tragedy struck in August 2009 on a pre-season camp in Italy. Harkey suffered a fatal heart attack just after being made captain and with his girlfriend expecting a baby. The club later named their training ground and B-team stadium in his honour. There is one story which reflects the love and affection for Harkey more than any other. In the World Cup final in 2010, Andrés Iniesta celebrated Spain's winning goal with a message on his shirt. Dani Harkey, siempre con nosotros, which translates as Dani Jarque, always with us. A fitting and very personal tribute from Iniesta on the greatest stage of his career.
Dani Jarque really will be with Espanyol as they return to Europe. It's a special moment for the entire club as they make it back to continental competition. The quest begins again. They enter the 2019-2020 Europa League group stages with no regular time defeats in 21 European matches. But they trade all of that for a shot at lifting the famous trophy. That's all for this episode of La Liga Lowdown. I've been your host, Drew McTeer, and I thank all the contributors, Sam Leveridge, Alex Fitzpatrick, Roman de Arquer, Stuart Spencer, Nick Puniel, and Matt Clark. We hope you've enjoyed reminiscing about Espanyol's famous 2006-2007 season. Thanks for tuning in and listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.